I'm going to preach a one-off sermon this morning, just a more of an apostolic translocal message. I love what the song choice that that Michelle chose today to help us to get there. So can we have the first slide, please? And we've got it, Ephesians 4:11, and so an apostolic translocal message. So Pastor Carmichael has already alluded to this morning, and this is ever in forefront of our hearts and our minds, that the days we are in right now is a moment in history where the world has been impacted, devastated, veered of course, touched and paralyzed in many ways by this global pandemic. Last week we ended our series Positioned in Christ, helping us to understand who and whose we are in Christ Jesus, and that we are seated above, and we know that the vagaries of life and different things come and attack us and do, and so we don't ignore that completely because we know we've got to live in this world, but that we ended it up with signed, sealed, and delivered, and helped us to understand the power and the value and the partnership of Holy Spirit in this position in Christ that we have. Sadly, there are still people right here today, sitting here and at home and around the world and around our province that are confused, feeling hopeless and losing hope throughout this pandemic as it continues to take its toll upon our lives. And if you want some encouragement besides what I'm going to preach today, go online to our YouTube and listen to the testimony we had from one family and how God has orchestrated things. And I'll just leave it there. Testimonies are good things to hear. And would help us to understand that there is still hope. There is still hope. There are still dreams that we want to dream. And that comes through Jesus, because Jesus is the hope. The ecclesia, we, the called out ones, we reflect Jesus and his glory. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, it says to me, Paul talking, though I am the very least of all the saints. Paul was not hoist with his own petard. He knew who he was, and he understood who he was. The very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that, and people, if you've heard me before, will know this is one of my favorite scriptures, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Through the church. This is not about outside of this. This is through us, the church, the called out ones. And God wants us to reveal his goodness. People around the world and today and here, including me, are looking for a new hope, are looking more for hope. And the bringer of hope is Jesus. And we get to celebrate his death and resurrection next week. Today is Palm Sunday. And so we come when Jesus came in on a donkey into Jerusalem. And they were all hailed the king. And then 3 days later, they said, crucify him. And that was an interesting turnabout. But today we want to welcome Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're already here. It's not like, please come. Because if you believe, when you walked into the building, he came in with you. He doesn't sit around in the building waiting for us. He resides in each one of us, and he comes with us as we move into. And so we come, and now through the church, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, weave this message of restoration, of hope, of courage, and of faith. And as followers of Christ and leaders, whatever you are leading in, we are called to vision and to lead others into a greater future for this. As Carmichael said, it's going to get better. And we're going to look back and go, wow, that was like boring. And we're going to go, man, this is so good. He wants to see that we are moving into our destinies that he has ordained for each one of us, individually and corporately. However, to be able to do that, we have to have a heart that is willing to dream and follow God's purposes for us. It is very difficult to infuse other people if you are not dreaming yourself, if you don't have hope, if you're not calling on Jesus. I'm not saying clinging. I'm not talking about white-knuckling it. I'm talking about in full assurance of who He is, that He is able to bring us through. Sometimes we feel, man, my dreams have been dashed, my hopes have been dashed, and we feel like we failed. I can tell you, I live there often, but I want to tell you today that we need to now know that it is not time to throw in the towel. It is not time to tap out. It's not time now to give up. And I just want to say, and I've never said this before over this whole year, and I just want to encourage those that are at home. If you've got to the place where you stay at home because it's comfortable, I want to challenge you today. And we look forward to seeing you soon. And we gather together to worship the King. If you've got health issues and all that kind of stuff, I'm not arguing with you. But if it's just because I like being in my pajamas on a Sunday morning, can I just be so bold as to say you've missed the point of why we gather here? And so I encourage you. We love you, and we'd love to see you. We might feel like our dreams and aspirations are withering and dying, even maybe believe that that dream is dead and buried. But our Heavenly Father wants to infuse us today. And so today, that was just the introduction. I want to preach a message called A Dream Called Hope. A Dream Called Hope. And not going into, because we could be here all day if we told you all our stories. When Bridget and I landed in Canada 16 years ago, we had dreams and aspirations for our new land and what we were going to accomplish for God and what we were going to do and how we were going to go and plant a church. God had other ideas. And we're so happy He had other ideas. And that we get to live in the privilege of standing on the shoulders of other people who'd gone before us, that we live in the privilege of Him allowing us to go through the doldrums, as it were, but bring us out on the other side, because His plans for us are still complete and perfect in every single way. From where you're sitting right now, that might not seem or appear the case, but His perfect plan and purpose for our lives, and I tell you what, I love His plan. We were going to go and plant a church in Kingston. And then He brought us here. And it took me a while to figure out we're in Kingston Road. See, sometimes we just have to show the Lord intent and then He will guide the rocket. It's when we want to sit in the driver's seat and we want to guide the rocket. And so we had to learn to lay down some of our dreams. And when they were dashed, you've heard our story, we would go down to the lake and what are we doing here? Why did you bring us? It's so cold. What are we doing here, Jesus? And we would sit and listen to a song. We will go for the sake of the lost. We will go for the sake of the cross. And we would remind ourselves of our dream and why God called us to come to Canada in the first place. You know, we had opportunity to go to places like Barbados. I know you're all quiet now and you're thinking, why'd you choose Canada? Well, because God said so. Sometimes when our dreams are dashed and we forget why God called us here, and we would sit and think about it. And you know, Abraham, when he got frustrated and tired of waiting on God, he decided, well, I'm going to make something happen, and he got Ishmael. And sometimes I felt like Abraham. God, I'm going to make something happen. But it was His way to hold us in. And when we got tired and frustrated of our dreams being dashed here, we had another dream. It was called an Abrahamic dream. We said, well, it's not working out. Let's go back to South Africa. I'm so glad God squashed that one for us. Well, some of you should say amen to that. I mean, like, wow. Anyway, let's move on. I'm secure, yes. My daughter's championing me. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Now we take that scripture at sort of simple face value and say, well, I haven't had a prophetic word, I haven't had anything to do anything. Well, that's not what this scripture means. What it actually really means is without the revelation of God's word, people abandon themselves to their own sinful ways, their own plans, their own ideas. I'm just going to do this. Without our dreams for a God future, we will abandon the life-giving motivation and not fulfill his call on our lives. Sometimes there is a long wait for dreams to be restored. COVID has debilitated some of that for us and even shattered some of your dreams perhaps. Judah in disobedience had become captives. Their dreams were dashed. The Lord said in their captivity, it's going to take 70 years. You mean my dreams on hold for 70 years? Yeah. And when he would restore their hope and their dreams to them, his plan for them was still his purpose, his plan, his perfect will for them. Jeremiah 29:10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I love it when I was reading this, the I wills of God. I will visit you. I will fulfill to your God has invested in our lives. He's invested in us individually. He's invested in us as a family. He's invested us as a congregation family together. He said, I will make this happen. I will bring it to purpose. I will make it work for you. There's a great future and a hope for each one of us. God will never leave you alone. God is always ever attentive. Even when there seems to be this, I'm in such a dry place. When our dreams have taken a beating, it leads us to a barrenness of soul. So number one, I want to talk about quickly, unfulfilled dreams bring barrenness of soul. And this is a downward spiral. Number one, when we start to feel this way and our dreams are shattered and we've got no hope, number one, lacking in generosity. Now, I'm not talking just about finances. I'm talking about every aspect of our lives. Our soul becomes dry. Our joy dries up. There's a barrenness. There's a lack of generosity on our finances, our time, ourselves, our interactions. That's what I've said before. I think social distancing is an ugly word. I think physical distance is the right word. Because we want to be safe, we want to be follow what the government says, but social distancing means I'm dialed out and I'm not doing anything now. And I think the Lord is saying, let's physical distance, but let's remain socially interactive. Second one is serving out of a duty. We're no longer motivated by the dream and the passion within us. I know what I'm talking about. You know, seeing a grown man like me cry is an ugly picture. Yeah, and it's okay, Marky, Bridget would say. Oh, but babes, you don't understand. She, yeah, no, I do. I'm in this with you. We have an inner reluctance or resistance to serve, but continue to do so because I feel I'm obligated to do this. And we want to get rid of that barrenness. Remember, we do everything we do together here, whether you're in your own community, in your homes, in your workplace. We serve the King. Our faith is no longer contagious. We become so barren in our soul, so dried up that there's no light shining us. There's no salt. There's no light coming out of our relationship with those who don't know Jesus. We are not bubbling over. People in this time, too, COVID, are still marching on their way to hell every day. Now, through the church. The manifold wisdom of God to be revealed. This is the time when we should be more evangelistic than ever before. We should be sharing the love of Jesus as we go together. People, when we have barrenness of soul, people don't see something in us that causes them to thirst for God. What is that? I've also got my own problems. I don't need yours too. You know, we got to go, no, my God is greater. My God is higher. We sing those songs. We lack motivation to share with them, feeling that we have nothing to offer. And I will encourage you today, you have everything to offer. God feels distance. When we're spiritually dry, there's a gradual distancing from God. Either we're not encountering him regularly, or we're not hearing from him, or we're hearing him speak to us intermittently. It's because we've given up encountering God, encountering, facing Him face to face in our prayer times, our devotion times, gathering together time, whatever it might be in your life. Your spiritual life is in a rut. We lack the excitements we had in our relationship with God. Our devotional time, our connection to God through the Bible and prayer has either been reduced to a rote exercise. Well, I do it because I have to. You know, it's occasional. It ceased to exist. There's a lack of motivation to connect with God. I don't feel like coming to church. I'm comfortable. My faith tank is so empty. It's just too much. Even perhaps some of you are going, yeah, I know this fast and prayer time. I know it's just like, I don't know, it's just too hard to think about. I'm just trying to be real and honest. We love you. Can I just give you, I know this is being recorded. I don't look forward to fasting. But we do it because we love Jesus, because we believe He's called us to do this. Don't get into a place where it's just too much. Number six, trials cause doubt to increase. I doubt my truths, I doubt my doubts, I'm doubting everything. Without trials, it's simply daily challenges. I encourage you, raise your head, let your faith tank be filled up. This is a major upheaval we're going through in our lives. As I said last week, we're all in the same storm, but our boats look differently, and I'm fully aware of that. Last one, lapses into negative thinking. The filter of our dreams is so scratched that every time something happens, we go, oh, it's negativity, negative. We speak negative, we behave negative. It's just too much. Our filter is so badly scratched. And that's all the bad news. But there is good news. And His name is Jesus. He wants to reach out today and touch you and your family and let His resurrection power resurrect some of those dreams. Psalm 126, a psalm of ascent, says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Allow yourself to dream again. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. This is not just happy. This is glad. This is joy. This is encapsulates us. It grabs hold of us. You know, this was the time when the Israelites had been plundered and taken into captivity. Time was Zerubbabel and Ezra, and then last year we ended off with doing the Gates of Nehemiah, and this is around that time. And then the Song of Ascents, as they go along, the worshippers, as they ascend the road to Jerusalem to their festivals. And He said He restored the fortunes. Now we're already thinking, oh, jewels and diamonds and great. No, that's not what He means. He means He brought back the captives, as Carmichael has given us a number of times prophetically, the remnant. He's restoring the remnant. The fortunes are people. He's restoring the people to God's house. He's bringing back again for them. This is coupled with Psalm 137, and we thank Boney M for by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down. Okay, anyway. Now you know why I'm not in the worship team. Our dream of a restored land and people was being restored. We were ecstatically happy. It was jaw-dropping joy. It was like an aha moment, if you like. They brought out whoops of delight. It says we shouted, you know, we go, okay, let's shout. And you all go, No. When we say shout, I want to hear your full vocal voice shouting like you would at a Raptors game or a Leafs game or whatever takes your fancy. When He called to each one of us, He knew ahead of time that we would mess up. God's not caught by like, well, I don't know what to do now. God knows. Even after we got saved, God is always for us and the dreams that He places within us. So let's have a look at Peter, number two. Peter had a dream. You know, Peter, the rough fisherman, Luke 22:33. Peter said to Him, Lord, I am ready to go with You both to prison and to death. That's commitment. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, The rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. What? Not me, Lord. I'm going to prison. I'm going to death with you. I'm going everything. Not me, Lord. We brothers. We like this. We together. We going anywhere. We have big dreams for this world. You and me, Jesus. You know? Peter seemed to forget that it was Jesus and Peter, not Peter and Jesus. Can you imagine the dreams that Peter had as he called from fishing, fishing for fishes? It's a smelly job. If you've ever been fishing, you know, smelly. Called to be fishers of men. And we go around and evangelizing and gospel and seeing people changed. When Jesus was in the garden, who was it? Peter pulled out the sword and cut off the Roman soldier's ear. Bravado. Lord, if you're going to jail, I'm going with you. I'm off to prison with you. When they were in the boat in the storm and Jesus came walking on the water, Peter's this dream. Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you. I'll come to you. Peter was the one who stepped out the boat. Yet, when reality hit, Peter, with a teenage girl, round a fire. Don't you know him? No, I don't know him. Not me. I wasn't there. Three times. Luke 22:61. And the Lord turned and looked. Can you imagine at that point in time? The third denial is out of, picture this with me. The third denial is out of his mouth. And Jesus turns and looks at him. And the look that he must have got. Can you imagine? And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. His dreams were dashed. His dreams were broken. Now this wept bitterly in the Greek is pikros, which means lamentation, hard crying, wailing aloud. To violently wail, sharp and piercing cry. In our modern day language, it would be ugly cry. Now, I know Bridget won't mind me telling you this. I got her to watch War Horse with me at home. And it was a bad idea. If any of you have seen War Horse, Bridget stood up in our lounge in front of the TV and she ugly cried, this poor horse. And I was crying too. Just so you know, but she was ugly crying, and she was like, oh, why are you making me watch this movie? But that's how Peter cried. Peter's heart was so broken at what he had done. He believed in his dreams with all his might. Lord, I'm going to go to prison with you. We're going to take this. The Romans are here. I'm for you. And sometimes we feel the way as well when our dreams appear thwarted and are dying or dead. Our inner heart is wailing to be heard in the courtrooms of heaven. And the good news is that the courtroom of heaven will hear your wail and your cries. And eventually Peter just gives up. He says, John 21:3, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. I'm done. And they said to him, we'll go with you. It's a great indictment upon us as the church of when we make a bad choice, what happens with those around us. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. I love this. I mean, do you get the important part of this? I'm the great fisherman. This dream has died. I'm going back to my comfort zone, what I feel comfortable about. I'm the fisherman. And they caught nothing. And Pete, what happened here, buddy? We caught nothing. Broken dreams and shattered hope often lead you back to your own comfort zone. When they caught this, then the next verse on, Jesus says, he's on the beach grilling fish. The carpenter is grilling fish on the beach. Children, do you have any fish? Not men, not, he's like, children, you got any fish? Why? Because Jesus still cares about your dreams, your aspirations, your passions, your motivations. I mean, mostly he's put them in our hearts, first of all. Peter's gets a personal invitation out of this thing through an angel in Mark 16:7. He says, the angel talking to the disciples says, but go tell his disciples and Peter. Mention Peter by name. Tell Peter by name that he is going before you to Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you. You know, it's not like just go tell the disciples. No, tell the disciples and Peter. Everything is going to be just as he said it would be. It ends off there, just as he told you. Just as he told. The dream is not dead. The passions are still there. They just need reviving. That it's all working out, he said. And I'm just saying today, this morning, if you've had dreams and visions and aspirations and things, that your personal invitation this morning from our Father to say, dream again, breathe again, take a deep breath again. And then we see that Peter, Jesus goes on to restore Peter in his dreams. Have you had a dream that's been broken? Deep disappointment? Something that has not gone the way you hoped it would? Someone has let you down, or circumstances been caused that you're going, man, I don't know what to do now. Jesus will come alongside you if you allow him. If you let him come, Jesus, come into my world. I invite you into my world. He will give you hope and a new direction. So I just want to finish off with some practical handles on how we can restore our hope and our dreams. Restoring hope to your dreams. Number one, break the blame game syndrome. Often we blame someone, everyone, our husband, our wives, our kids, pick something for your dryness, your broken dream. It's everyone else's fault but yours. And I want to encourage you today, when your dreams are fulfilled and you're feeling that way, when you play the blame game, you deplete yourself even more. And I want to say, take responsibility, take action for your spiritual growth. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your relationship with the Father. Because you do know you're not going to get to heaven and say, it was okay, my wife had enough religion for the both of us. It's not going to work that way. Number two, recognize your deepest need. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. According to scripture, the answer to spiritual dryness is intimacy with Father. Intimacy with the Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, having a refreshing and infilling of the Holy Spirit, as we spoke about last week. Our need is for God himself to step in. When we are dry, when we are feeling, and I know sometimes it's hard to pull yourself out of that doldrum. I understand it. I've been there. I've lived it. So I'm not preaching because I think it's a cool idea. It's because I've walked this road. Sometimes when we feel the spiritual, we relate it to our Christian service and what we're doing, and I'm just too busy, and we often focus on the external points to fix it. But it's an internal relationship that is suffering. I need a break. I need help. I need a change. And these may be genuine. Please, I'll just ignore them. No. We people, if you cut us, we bleed. We should make definite plans to meet them. However, we shouldn't ignore the real underlying need. And the real underlying need is I need to reconnect with God and be spirit-filled once again. I need my emotional tank filled up. I need my physical tank. Whatever tank is empty in your life, you need that replenished. Reinstilling vision and purpose in the plan he has called you to. Number three, we're going to love this one. Stop procrastinating. Don't put your hand up. Who's the procrastinator here? Here we go. Yeah. That's not nice. Sorry. I procrastinate sometimes. I'm of the mind, and until I'm really busy, that I actually can't breathe and I'm not busy at all. So I might put off things, and then, you know, it's this pile, and now I have to do it all. So our excuse is, I'm waiting for this busy season to be over. What? I want to know where you live that your busy season gets over, if we can put it there. Then I'll have time to spend time with God. In our current situation, when COVID is over, then we'll gather again, then we'll live again. But you're still living. You go to work, you go to restaurants, you go shopping. When I don't have to wear a mask, then I'm good again. Well, we don't know how long that's going to last. I don't know either. I'm waiting for assistance from somebody else. Circumstances might not change that quickly. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We have to think long term, but we can only plan short term. Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, what the government might say in the next day, where we're going, how that's going to work, what your job might say, what the schools are going to do. You know, things can change very quickly. We run the risk of going dry or burnout if we don't action now. Take action now. You say, I don't have a day. Well, take an hour. If you don't have an hour, take a moment. And sometimes it's just, I need you, Lord. I need this refreshing time from you. Often it's just a moment that takes. Number four, reconnect with God. Reconnect with God. John 7:37 is, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. No, it's okay. I can do this myself. Hot tip. You can't. I can't. None of the pastors here can. And you can't. We're all in this boat together. We all need reconnection with the Father. Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you, O God. And we've got to be like that. Find your happy place when you reconnect with God again. Number five, ask God to refresh you. No, I got it. I'm good. I'm okay. No, just bow your knee, bow your head, and ask God. The best prayers are the simplest ones. Well, I don't know how to pray all those like fancy prayers. Praise God, you don't. Pray the simple prayer. Like, Father, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh again, please. That's it. You don't have to worry about how it's all going to work out. He knows. He's got it all hand. It's His plan. It's His purpose. It's His providence towards us. In the book of Acts, when they were faced with persecution, the church knew that the greatest need was not for their circumstances to change. I know. I pray daily that the Lord will eradicate this virus. I'm building my faith towards that. I trust you will partner with me. But what they really understood is they needed a fresh empowerment from the Holy Spirit. Peter and John had been arrested. They were in jail. And when they stood up and told their story, then they got released. And when they were released in Acts 4:23, when they were released, they went to their friend and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they said, okay, we're going to change everything now. You're not going to preach over here. You're going to preach over there. And we're going to send you in disguise. No, they didn't do any of that. They said they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything with them. And you want to know why corporate prayer is important? Now you know why corporate prayer is important. When we come together, we lift our hearts and our voices to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is an anointing, an added anointing, when the saints join together in powerful prayer. Last one, number six, be transparent and authentic. People battle with this one the most. And I'd go even as further to say integrity. If you're in business and if you've promised to do something, do it. If you've promised someone to pay them something, pay them. When you want to be your character, these are great character attributes. Reach out to others. Pride will hold you back. No, it's okay. Not so much the ladies, but the guys. No, I got this. I'm the head of my house. I got this. Okay. Believe it or not, you need help and you need support and you need wisdom of others. Bridget and I need help, we need support, and we need wisdom of others. Michael and Janine, Kevin and Trish, Carmichael and Tunisia, and Dom and Ellie need help, they need support, and they need others in their lives. Because we are the pastors, it doesn't mean that we now like we float 3 inches above the ground and glow in the dark. In God's kingdom, being transparent and authentic and integrate is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength. Integrity is a high value. Are your dreams like these dead bones that once lived? And I'm going to ask you all just to stand for this as I read the scripture over us. And this is a vision. This is not an actual bunch of people. This is a vision that the prophet Ezekiel gets. And just where you are, just close your eyes, please. Don't read it off the board. Just listen to my voice. Ezekiel 37:3. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with the skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." And so, Father, we come this morning to you, Lord God, and I ask, would you once again blow your ruach breath, your life-giving breath, breath that brought Jesus to life, the breath that gave Adam life, the breath that brought Lazarus from the tomb, that life-giving resurrection power life, would you breathe that into our dreams today? If you're standing here today, and I just say in your heart or say it out loud, whatever you're comfortable with, Lord, help me to dream again. Father, my hopes have been dashed. My aspirations appear broken and dashed. Lord, I want to breathe and I want to dream again. I want to stand in that place of Lord God. My position in Christ is secure. And Lord, I come to you today, Lord, and I just allow your spirit to wash over me. Just take a moment and allow his spirit to wash over you, to bring vision and dreams. The language of the Holy Spirit is prophecy and vision and dreams. And so we say, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today? Would you envision us again? Would you be like was prophesied by the prophet Joel? The old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions. And Lord God, we ask, Lord, that we would have vision and dreams and words, the revelation of your word over our lives. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.